Good afternoon. It's 36 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Six people are identified as having been exposed to the measles during a recent flight from Phoenix to Milwaukee. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services says an infected traveler ignored isolation orders when they boarded the Southwest flight last month. The infected person then headed to Walworth County, where measles were detected in untreated wastewater, the first such detection in the state. At a Tuesday news conference, Milwaukee Health Commissioner Mike Totoratis has said his department is working with officials at Mitchell International Airport to connect with potentially impacted staff.
Shared air handling can spread the virus throughout an entire building. So we want to make sure that everyone who was at the airport was safe during that time.
All six determined to have been exposed to the virus are Milwaukee residents. Others on the flight have been advised to quarantine until February 19th. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission heard plenty of opposition to data centers in general as it considers a proposed increase of energy production and rate increases. State Senator Chris Larson, a Milwaukee Democrat, says there isn't enough capacity on the state's power grid.
The scale of the proposed development is unprecedented. Just two of the announced data centers would require more electricity than all current residential customers in Wisconsin combined.
UW-Madison professor Jonathan Patz says the new natural gas power plants needed to power data centers will worsen the health of Wisconsinites.
Air pollution emissions from Foundry Ridge and Red Oak Ridge would lead to elevated fine particulate matter exposure across the upper Midwest and eastern United States.
We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service are asking for the changes. Several massive data centers are already under construction, and Wisconsin would have to drastically increase its power generation to keep up. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman has named Dr. Eric Wilcox as interim chancellor of UW-Madison effective May 17th. Wilcox, currently dean of the College of Letters and Science, will succeed Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin when she departs to become president of Columbia University. Wilcox was named LNS dean in May 2020 and served in the interim role for several months before his permanent appointment. Prior to assuming the role of dean, he served as deputy dean of the college and associate dean for research, as well as associate dean for natural sciences. He has been part of the UW-Madison campus since 1995, when he started as a lecturer in the Department of Astronomy before joining the faculty a year later. Dean Wilcox has won two university teaching awards and is co-chair of the Wisconsin Science Festival Steering Committee. In 2023, he also served as interim provost for UW-Madison. Reedsburg Area Medical Center Birth Center team has expanded childbirth expertise through a spinning babies workshop. Several members of the Birth Center team recently attended a spinning babies workshop to strengthen the team's commitment to evidence-based maternity care. Spinning babies is an approach to childbirth that focuses on baby positioning and the anatomy of the mother's womb and pelvis. The method uses specific stretches, positioning, and movement techniques to help babies find the most optimal position for birth, supporting smoother labor progress and a more comfortable birthing experience. By participating in this workshop, RAMC Birth Center staff gained hands-on experience with low intervention techniques designed to support labor and adapt care to each patient's unique needs. Erin James, assistant director of the Birth Center, said, quote, "We learned several low intervention techniques that can have a significant impact on the birthing experience," end quote. To learn more about the Spinning Babies approach, visit spinningbabies.com. Tuesday's annual State of the Tribes address included pointed requests for lawmakers. Red Cliff Chippewa Chair Nicole Boyd says estimates suggest Wisconsin residents are spending hundreds of millions of dollars via unlawful and unregulated sports betting platforms located outside the state. Boyd called on lawmakers to pass legislation to allow tribes to offer mobile sport betting. She also asked the state to finally legalize medical marijuana and hemp products containing THC. She said, quote, "Wisconsinites are beyond ready and growing more impatient with lawmakers every day on this topic," end quote. Boyd also asked for action to address gun violence and missing and murdered Indigenous women, and she thanked Governor Tony Evers for his advocacy on behalf of Wisconsin's tribal communities. Janesville's City Council has voted unanimously to place a citizen petition on the November ballot. The measure would require automatic referendums for any project over $450 million at the old General Motors site. City officials warn the petition may violate state law and could trigger lawsuits, while some residents argue the delay gives the city time to advance a controversial data center proposal before voters can weigh in. Others urge the council to adopt the limits immediately, saying the public deserves a direct say in any major redevelopment of the site. What's next for Eddie Bauer? The outdoor apparel retailer has officially filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Eddie Bauer LLC is a division of Catalyst Brands, formed just last year when JCPenney merged with its parent company and several others. Manufacturing, wholesale, and online sales will continue. There are 8 Eddie Bauer locations in Wisconsin: Wauwatosa, Pleasant Prairie, Appleton, Baraboo, Eau Claire, Johnson Creek, Madison, and Oshkosh. USA Today reports stores will remain open for the immediate future, but if the company cannot find a buyer for its U.S. and Canada stores, all of approximately 180 locations will close. The Department of Workforce Development has released its 2025 financial summary of Wisconsin's Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, which showed decreased tax rates for employers and an increased overall balance. The UI Trust Fund is the account that holds Wisconsin employers' state UI taxes, which finance regular state UI benefit payments. The UI Trust Fund functions as a reserve in case of increased state UI benefit payments during economic downturns. The higher the UI Trust Fund balance, the less likely the state will need to borrow from the federal government during recessionary periods. The UI Trust Fund balance as of December 31st was over $2.1 billion, $151 billion in wages insured for Wisconsin employees. Schedule D, the lowest tax rate schedule, was in effect. Employers' UI tax rate is assessed only on the first $14,000 of each employee's wages, and more than 95% of employers had a UI tax rate below 4%, with more than half of all employers having a UI tax rate below 2%. And tax rates decreased or remained unchanged for 57.9% of employers in 2025. This report shows employers saved an estimated $50.5 million in payable taxes in 2025. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking basic and advanced hunter education volunteers to teach and certify basic hunter education students and teach hunters of all experience levels practical outdoor skills. Volunteer opportunities are available in all parts of the state. Becoming a volunteer instructor is a great way to shape the future of hunting in Wisconsin, get hands-on teaching experience, work closely with DNR staff, and engage with your local community. Basic hunter education is a firearm safety class required by law for anyone born on or after January 1, 1973, and who intends to hunt independently. The DNR relies on volunteer hunter safety instructors to teach the standardized, internationally approved curriculum and administer the written and practical exams required for certification. Volunteers must be certified to teach basic hunter education by apprenticing with an existing group of hunter education instructors or attending a staff-led mini academy that takes volunteers through each lesson that instructors are expected to teach at a basic hunter safety class. Instructors must also pass an exam based on the DNR's Hunter Education Policy and Procedure Manual. Once certified, basic hunter education volunteer instructors should teach at least one class and attend an instructor recertification workshop every 3 years. Beyond basic hunter education, the DNR and its contracted partners offer additional instruction and continuing education to hunters of all experience levels. Volunteers are being sought to coordinate and instruct programs that teach hands-on skills to help participants gain the experience and confidence needed to hunt independently. Training is currently optional and provided upon request. Outdoor skills programs teach specific skills related to hunting and the outdoors, such as turkey calling, shooting basics, and cooking wild game. Lesson plans are available to use as a guide, but if you have a hunting or shooting sports skill you can teach, reach out to the program staff to talk more. The Learn to Hunt program is a unique opportunity in Wisconsin that allows volunteers to host educational mentored hunts outside of the normal hunting season. During Wisconsin's turkey seasons, the program offers flexibility for new hunters to hunt with a mentor when it works for their schedules. The Learn to Hunt program requires at least 4 hours of pre-hunt instruction to participants, and program volunteers must have at least 5 years of experience hunting the target species. At least one mentor must be an active basic hunter education instructor. All volunteer instructors must pass a background check, either through the DNR or through one of its partner organizations. For more information about becoming a volunteer instructor or to apply, contact Emily Isle, DNR Hunting and Shooting Sports Program Specialist at emily.ihl@wisconsin.gov. Vernon County has received a grant of nearly $448,000 to continue its domestic violence initiative focused on addressing intimate partner violence. The grant was awarded by the UW School of Medicine and Public Health through the Wisconsin Partnership Program and will support the initiative through 2028. The Domestic Violence Initiative was launched in 2023 with funding from the U.S. Department of Justice. The program was created to improve how Vernon County responds to domestic violence, support survivors, and provide treatment and accountability for offenders. In April 2025, federal funding for the program was unexpectedly canceled. To make sure services did not stop, the Vernon County Board of Supervisors stepped in and funded the initiative through the end of 2025. That local funding allowed the program to continue helping residents while the project team searched for new funding. The initiative is led by Vernon County in partnership with Stonehouse Counseling, Family and Children's Center, Hanson Assessment and Educational Services, and the Vernon County Sheriff's Office. Together, they have built new services and improved how agencies work together to respond to domestic violence. Over the past 3 years, the program has created the Help End Abuse Response Team, known as HEART. HEART trains local volunteers to support survivors and assist law enforcement at the scene of domestic violence incidents. The initiative also formed a countywide coordinated community response team that meets monthly to review cases and improve local policies and procedures. In addition, sexual assault nurse examiners have been trained in the county, and local clinicians have been trained to assess domestic violence cases and lead group programs for people charged with domestic violence offenses. Funding for the Wisconsin Partnership Program will allow Vernon County to continue these services and expand the program. The Vernon County Public Health Department and UW-Madison Division of Extension will also join the effort. For more information about Vernon County's initiative to address domestic violence, contact Amy Oliver, Vernon County Community Development Director, at amy.oliver@vernoncountywi.gov or call 608-637-5379. Wisconsin saw a jump in unidentified flying object reports in 2025. The National UFO Reporting Center listed 74 reports of UFOs in Wisconsin last year for a 48% increase. Sightings range from a fast-moving star that disappeared suddenly and was marked as a potential satellite to a triangle of lights that appeared as large as a city block. The National UFO Reporting Center is one of multiple databases that tracks the self-reported observations of UFOs. The center, which is a private, nonprofit organization founded in 1974, listed 50 reports of UFOs in Wisconsin in 2024. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is offering free tree seedlings to every fourth grade student in Wisconsin as part of its annual Arbor Day tree planting program. Wisconsin's fourth grade principals, teachers, and homeschoolers can now place seedling orders and coordinate delivery by completing the 2026 Arbor Day application by March 16th. Since 1984, every fourth grade student in Wisconsin has been eligible to receive a free tree seedling from Wisconsin State Nurseries to complement Arbor Day observations and celebrations. Planting seedlings from state nurseries is a great way to celebrate Arbor Day, which will be held April 24th, which is dedicated to increasing the number of trees across the country to help improve the environment. Through its fourth grade Arbor Day tree planting program, the DNR provides interactive education to Wisconsin students about the importance of trees in our environment. Annually, the DNR provides approximately 50,000 free tree seedlings to fourth grade students throughout the state. Seedlings come protected to keep backpacks clean, and shipments include educational information on how to best plant and care for seedlings and trees. Any tree seedlings planted will also get Wisconsin closer to its Trillion Trees pledge of planting 100 million trees across the state by 2030. Arbor Day, an annual observance promoting tree planting and care, has been celebrated in Wisconsin on the last Friday of April since 1883. For more information, contact Carrie Skirvin at the Griffith State Nursery at 715-424-3700. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced $1 million in funding is available under the Teacher Training and Recruitment Grant Program. The funding pays for cost of training and recruiting teachers in areas where teacher shortages are most prevalent in the state. Grants are available through DWD's Expanded Wisconsin Fast Forward Program. Qualified Wisconsin nonprofit organizations can apply for up to $250,000 to recruit, train, and license teachers to meet the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction guidelines for serving low-income and/or urban area school districts. Eligible applicants are tax-exempt 501c3 and 501c4 nonprofit organizations. The application deadline is 3 o'clock Thursday, March 19th. Additional details can be found on the Wisconsin Fast Forward website. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting nominations through March 27th for three seats on the Wisconsin Potato Industry Board. Potato growers in Districts 1, 2, and 3 are eligible to nominate board members or be nominated. District 3 covers the entire WRCO listening area. Potato growers should receive a nomination form in the mail. Eligible growers can also request nomination forms by emailing DATCAP's Market Orders Program staff at datcpmarketorders@wisconsin.gov. Each nomination form must include signatures of at least five eligible potato growers other than the nominee from the district in which the nominee is running for office. A declaration of eligibility located on the nomination form must also be completed. Completed forms must be postmarked on or before March 27th and mailed to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection Market Orders Program, P.O. Box 8911, Madison, Wisconsin, 53708-8911. Today's winner of $50 in the Richland Center High School Athletic Booster Calendar Raffle is Kim Lucky of Richland Center on ticket number 911.